tonight from the book of Luke, chapter number 15. I know this is a familiar text tonight, but I pray that the familiarity of this passage does not take away from the burden that God has laid upon my heart. I've been praying much throughout this day that God would take this message and speak to people. You know, there's not anything that I can do or you can do to open people's eyes, but the Lord can. Amen. And He can show us all. I don't even know my own needs, but the Holy Ghost shows us what we need. And so you pray with us and for us tonight that the Lord would help us. Luke chapter number 15, if you're able to stand with us, look with us in verse number 8. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Verse 10, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the good testimonies. Lord, the good singing tonight. Thank you for the offering, Lord, to go for the need, Lord, that we have presented tonight. And we thank you for how you've already answered prayer. We've heard testimonies of answered prayer today. And Lord, I ask you now, Lord, that you would bless the reading of thy word. Give us liberty. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd touch us in a special way for the glory of God. Speak to every heart, and we'll give you the glory and honor that's due to your name. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Notice with me in Luke chapter number 15, we know that Jesus is giving one parable here, as the Bible says in verse number 3, "And he spake this parable unto them." So there is one parable, but in this one parable, there is three different stories. You say, "Well, now, preacher, why would you say that it is one parable with three different stories?" And the reason for that is because the Bible says he spake this parable unto them. And in this parable, with these three different stories, the theme of the parable does not change. Now, there may be three different stories, three different illustrations, but the theme from verse number 4 all the way down to the end of the chapter is the same. It is the parable concerning the lost sheep and then the lost silver and then the lost son. So the emphasis of the text tonight has to do with that which is lost. Amen. It is seen in all three of these illustrations that he's giving here. And while much could be said about all three, I want us to focus our attention a few minutes tonight on this story, this illustration within this parable. Concerning the lost silver. Amen. I want you to consider three things tonight, and then I'm going to preach. It's a little bit different of a sermon. I'm going to give you three things to consider out of this text tonight, and then probably midway or toward the end of this sermon, I'm going to give you a checklist tonight, a biblical checklist on how to know if you're saved or if you're lost. Amen. That's what I'm preaching on tonight, is how to know if you're saved or if you're lost. I think that's the most important question and the most important thing that we should all be able to determine tonight. Are we saved or are we lost? Amen. I've been asking God today, Lord, if there's anybody under the sound of our voice tonight that is lost, I pray that you'll show them. If there's anybody here tonight that is saved but is struggling, I pray that you'll show them tonight, because it'll take the Holy Spirit to make it real to your eyes. But I want you to consider in verse number 8 and 9, I want you to consider the lady that's in our text tonight. The Bible said, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver." Now think about this woman tonight. Consider the lady in this text. I'm talking about her mystery. Amen. I mean, this woman is a mystery in and of herself. Who does she represent? What part does she play within this parable tonight? And then we think about her money. The Bible says that she has 10 pieces of silver. Amen. Here's a woman that has 10 pieces of silver. Now, we could talk about that tonight, but time would not allow us. But I want you to think about her misery. Amen. As the Bible says here, if she lose one piece. Now, Jesus does not say she loses a piece, but he said if she lose one piece. In other words, he wants us to consider the fact
fact, what would happen if this woman who had 10 pieces of silver, if she lost one of them, what would she do? How would she react? Well, we're going to see that. Amen. When we think about her misery, when you consider this woman here in this text, what it reveals is that she is going to be just as concerned about one as what she is 10. Amen. So my friend, one means as much to her as all 10 means to her. And is that not the story that is given all throughout this parable? There was 100 sheep, but there was one that left the fold. But the one mattered to the shepherd as much as the 99. Amen. The father had two sons, but the one that strayed meant just as much to him as the one that stayed. Isn't that right? And here in our text tonight, she has 10 pieces of silver, and the one that is lost means just as much to her as the ones that are still found. I'm saying tonight, you count and you matter in the eyes of God. Amen. We are not a statistic in heaven, but I'll tell you, every soul that's ever born into this world matters to our Father. It matters to God tonight. Amen. And so we think about her misery. She is miserable because one is lost. And then look at her mission in verse 8 and 9. Look what this woman does when she loses this piece of silver. I see she's shining in verse number 8. As the Bible said that she does she not light a candle? Amen. I'm telling you, when this piece of silver gets lost, you know what the first thing she does? She starts shining the light. Amen. Now I'm telling you tonight, if you're lost, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, you need it to shine in the recesses of your soul tonight. I'm telling you, the day that I got saved and the day that you got saved was the day that we realized and we come to the reality that we were lost and we could not save ourselves. I ask you this question: who turned the light on for you? Who turned the light on for me? You may have heard preaching many times, but it was not until the Holy Ghost took the word of God and pricked you in the heart and convicted you in your soul. You know what conviction is? It's the shining of the gospel light. And as she said, it answers all the questions. I want to say thank God for the power of the gospel tonight. Amen. I pray if you're lost, God will shine the light in your soul. She is shining. And then I notice she's sweeping. Amen. The Bible said she swept the house. I remember the day I got under conviction. You know what the Holy Ghost did? He swept across my heart. He swept this house. He took the light of the Word of God and he pushed away everything. He pushed away the excuses. He pushed away all my way of thinking. He pushed away all the things that came through my mind. And sinner, hear me tonight. If you see yourself lost, if you see yourself in need of a Savior, you ought to thank God that the Holy Ghost swept by the door of your heart and has given you an opportunity to be saved tonight. Amen. I see she's shining, she's sweeping, and then she's seeking. Look what the Bible said. She seeks diligently till she finds. You know, when we got saved, we that are in this building that are saved, God came looking for us. I'm not a Calvinist tonight. I believe every man's got a free will. But we couldn't get saved by ourselves. I couldn't have found God if I tried. And I don't care if you was raised in church. You can't find God within yourself. God has to take the initiative in salvation. This woman took the initiative in this situation here. I tell you, it was God that came to our heart's door. It is God that showed us we were lost. It is God that spoke that still small voice. I'm telling you, he seeks out the sinner. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 19, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm telling you, long before Zacchaeus went looking for Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus was to pass by there that way. I'm telling you, before Zacchaeus could get up in that sycamore tree, the Lord already saw him a sinner, already knew he couldn't save himself, already knew that he needed to be saved, and he came to where he was. I'm glad for the day that he came to where I was. Don't you thank God for the day that he came to where you was, and he shined the light, and he swept across your heart, and he sought you as a sinner. Amen. You know, that's why tonight, if you're a member of this church but you're lost and the Lord shows you that, you ought to come running tonight. Because if he's seeking you, then you ought to respond. And she's sweeping and she's seeking and she's shining. But look at verse 9. Thank God she's saving. Amen. The Bible says, and when she hath found it. I want to say thank God she found what she was looking for. I thank God for the day God passed by my way and found what he was looking for. I went to church that morning just a lost, hell-bound sinner. I wasn't looking for God, but I'm glad he was looking for me. I wasn't looking to get saved, but I'm glad he was looking to save me. Amen. I still had to make a conscious choice, but I'm glad when I didn't know I needed a God, he knew what I needed. I'm glad he took the initiative. Don't you thank God? Thank God that he found you. Amen. I like that old song Brother Cape used to sing. I'm so glad he found me. Amen. I want to say tonight, hallelujah. It sure does feel good to be able to raise your hand on a Wednesday night and say, I once was lost, but thank God now I'm found. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to say you've been found? I know what it is, Brother Mike, to be found tonight. Amen. Can you say that tonight? I see she's saving. Amen. When we sing that song, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know we don't go on feelings, but I'm glad I can say I feel the Holy Spirit deep inside. I'm glad, thank God, it's real. It is real. I say, praise God, it is real. Amen. It is real down in my soul. Hallelujah. Is it real to you tonight? I want to say she is saving. And then she's shouting. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. She calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. I mean, this lady is rejoicing. She is shouting. Jesus told the disciples, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written down in heaven. I'm telling you tonight, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you ought to just praise God that you're not going to hell. You ought to praise God that you know your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. You ought to thank God you've been washed in the blood. You ought to shout because you've been born again. You ought to shout hallelujah because you passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Got a reason to rejoice, don't we? I know this week should consider the lady in our text, but consider the lost in our text. I want you to think about the silver. So what do you mean, preacher? I want you to note that in verse number 8, the silver has no awareness. So what do you mean? I mean, this silver tonight does not know that it is lost. This silver tonight, it is dead in the condition that it is in. This silver, you say, preacher, why is this silver not aware? Very simple. It doesn't have any life in it. Amen. I mean, a coin doesn't have no life in it. This silver, it is valuable to this world, but it is no value whatsoever in a lost condition. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, if you're lost, you're not aware of your condition, it'll take the Holy Ghost to open your eyes and to show you that you're lost. And I'll tell you, if God deals with your heart, if God speaks to you right now and he tells you you're lost and you become aware, you might be a young person here tonight and you may not have reached the age of accountability. You may not understand all of this about getting saved. There's going to come a time in your life when God's going to turn the light on. See, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You don't have no life in you right now. You may be already reached the age of accountability, but singing don't mean nothing to you. The preacher preaching doesn't do anything for you. Going to church is nothing more than a social event. You don't get anything out of that. You're just like this coin. You're not tuned in. You're not aware. You're lifeless. Amen. I see some people that I worry about if they're saved. They got a lot of works, Brother Brian. They don't have no life in them. You know, a machine produces works, but it cannot produce life. A tree is not standing there working fruit. It's producing. That tree just stands there. And the fruit that comes out on that tree is coming from what's running on the inside. That sap comes up, there's fruit. Say, Brother Gravely, what are you saying? I'm saying tonight, if you're lost, the only thing you got to trust in is your works tonight. Church membership will not get you to heaven. Being a good person won't get you to heaven. Being baptized won't get you to heaven. I'm telling you, paying tithes and offerings and missions, it won't get you to heaven. I'm telling you, all that is just works, amen. It has nothing to do with salvation, for it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us, amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, amen. This silver has no awareness, amen. It does not know that it is lost. And then this silver has no ability. Even if this silver could somehow be aware that it was lost, it couldn't do anything. It couldn't get found on its own. It couldn't find its way back from its lost condition. You know, if you're lost tonight, that's where you got to get to. You got to get to the place where you realize you can't do anything about your soul. You got to get desperate. You got to get to the end of yourself. You got to come to the end of your rope, friend. You got to junk your pride, junk your religion. You might be here tonight and say, "Well, I'm not going down there and getting saved because I'm going to get saved on my terms." Oh no, you're not. You can't. You don't have the ability to save yourself. I tell you, when people get saved, is when they get sick and tired of being sick and tired of their sin. And they say, "You know what? I don't want to go to hell. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what nobody thinks. I want to come to God." And it's probably harder for a religious person to get saved than it is a non-religious person, because they hold on to so much pride and religion. But this silver has no ability, and this silver has no attachment. Apart from the woman in this lost state, this silver has no value whatsoever. You see, this silver is worth something as long as it's in the woman's possession. But once it is lost, it doesn't matter how much it may have been valued at one time, but in the lost condition, it is absolutely worthless. I want to say tonight, your mind will one day deteriorate. Your body will one day perish. But your soul, you have three parts to you tonight. You have a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. And your soul is never going to die. You say, "Why is my soul never going to die?" Because God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And the Bible says Adam became a living soul. I want to tell you, before God breathed in Adam, he had a body of clay. But when God breathed in him, his soul, the soul of man never dies. It will live for all eternity somewhere, either in heaven or it will live in hell. Now I want to tell you tonight, your soul has been given to you by your Creator. It's been given to you by the God, Almighty God Himself. He's given you a soul, and that soul's going to live somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. Now I want to say tonight, your soul is the most valuable thing you possess. It is more valuable than your body. It is more valuable than your mind. It is more valuable than anything that you could ever obtain in this walk of life. No material thing is more worth than your soul tonight. No sinful pleasure is worth more than your soul tonight. You say, why is that, preacher? Because all other things will perish, but your soul will live forever and ever and ever in eternity. You hear me tonight? As valuable as your soul is, it's just like this silver. If your soul is lost tonight without God, then your soul is absolutely worthless without God. The most awful tragedy that could ever be said about one individual is that they went to hell. Because number one, God gave them a soul. Number two, Jesus died and shed his blood for your soul. If you die and your soul goes to hell, what a tragedy. As valuable as that soul is, it will be worthless in eternity. Consider the lost. Consider the lady. Then I want you to consider the lesson in our text tonight. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's a lesson here about joy. It's not the angels that the Bible talks about doing the rejoicing, but someone else is rejoicing in their presence. Heaven already has joy, but in this verse, heaven has joy on top of joy. Can you imagine that? Heaven is a joyous place. There will never be a moment in heaven when there's not joy. But I'll tell you here in our verse, there is joy on top of joy. There's a lesson about joy. There's a lesson about Jehovah. You say, who is this one that's rejoicing in the presence of these angels? I'll tell you who it is. It's the one that's able to save them tonight. I'll tell you, God rejoices when a sinner gets saved. If you was to come to this altar tonight and repent of your sins, and if you was to come tonight and swallow your religion and your pride, I'm going to tell you, heaven would rejoice. God would rejoice. You think about tonight, it's Jehovah who's doing the rejoicing. Something has happened that has thrilled the heart of the sovereign, and that something tonight is a sinner that has come by way of the cross. Nothing more would make God more excited than for someone to accept his son who died for their sins. It would thrill the heart of Almighty God tonight. I want to say there's a lesson about the Jews for this text, really. If you go back and read verse 1 and 2, has to do with the Jews. And we won't deal with that tonight. But there's a lesson about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that's doing the speaking in this text. He's the one talking about the lost silver being found. And I want to say to you tonight, sinner, that if Jesus would tell us not once, not twice, but three times in one passage, that which was lost has been found. And I want to say tonight, he will save your soul if you'll come to him. Now, for about 5 minutes tonight, I want to close with this checklist. A biblical checklist on how to know if you're saved or lost. You can write these down or you can listen to them later. I would say tonight, if you're lost, you are dead to the things of God. For the Bible said in Ephesians 2 that we were talking about our past life, that we were once dead in our trespasses and sin. If you're lost tonight, you never see the need to repent or admit you're wrong or you're guilty. There's a lot of people tonight that they blame everybody else, but they cannot take the guilt, the blame for themselves. A sinner will never be saved as long as they point the finger to everyone else. You cannot be saved until you come to the end of yourself and admit that you must be saved, that you're the guilty one. I want to say tonight, you are lost if you have no desire whatsoever, nor ever have any desire for the things of God. Lost people
have no desire for the things of God. You know why some people can grow up in church, walk out the door, and the next time you see them on a social media post, when they were in here, they couldn't smile. But when you see them out there, they're smiling and they're having the time of their life. I'm going to tell you why. They're not saved, friend. That's what one of those verses I read the other night. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they'd have been of us, they would have continued, wouldn't they? I want to say if you're lost tonight, you cannot wait to get out because you have no desire for the things of God. If you're lost tonight, you have no discernment of spiritual things. You cannot receive, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. If you're lost tonight, you're not convicted about your sin when you do wrong. I had someone tell me one time, they said, that never has bothered me. I said, well, that is sin. I said, if you can say that you can sin and it never bothers you, God is no respecter of persons. What you're saying is you're not saved. If you're lost tonight, you can yoke up with the world easier than you can yoke up with the church. Now here's the checklist, the biblical checklist. These are all biblical principles I gave you about being lost. But from the Bible, how does a person know if they're saved? I want to say number one tonight, if you're saved, you have a genuine faith. Luke 17 and verse 5 says, and the apostle saith unto the Lord, increase our faith. Romans 1:17 said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What this means is that your faith gets stronger. Once you get saved and you grow in Christ. The evidence that I believed then is that I still believe right now. Not with my head, but the difference between believing with your head and believing with your heart is that believing with your head is just merely a knowledge of faith. Believing with your heart is a commitment of faith. God gives every man a measure of faith. The day that I got saved, I didn't know any Bible much. But what Bible I heard, I believe with my heart. You say, how do you know? Because I committed to that. I came forward and I trusted Christ as my Savior. I took that measure of faith and deposited it in the Lord Jesus Christ and I trusted in Him. And if you're saved tonight, you have a genuine faith. That faith that you had then, you still have it right now. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And 1 Peter said, you add to your faith. If you have faith tonight, if you have a genuine faith in God because you're saved, here's what that means. You can add, you can build upon that faith tonight. Secondly, you have a genuine love for the Word of God. If you're saved tonight, John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Let me say something about that love for the Word of God tonight. I want to say that love for the Word of God is just like that baby when it takes that milk and it drinks that milk. You know what that milk causes it to do? It's an automatic thing, isn't it? It begins to grow, doesn't it? That baby's not doing anything to grow. It's drinking that milk, and that milk is growing that baby. Can I get an amen right there? You see, if you're saved tonight and you read this Bible, you'll grow. You'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know if I'm growing. Just keep reading the Bible. If you're saved, you're going to grow. But if you're lost, you can read it and you're dead to it. Amen. What I'm saying tonight is that you'll have a love for the Word of God. Could you fail in your Bible reading? Sure you can, and sure you will. But you know what it does when you get saved? You love to hear preaching. I love to hear preaching.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if a preacher runs wide open or stands still. I don't care if it's preaching, or teaching. If it's the Word of God and it's feeding my soul, I'm telling you, I can hear a good message and I feel like I've sat down to a good meal. Amen. When I was lost, it wasn't that way, Brother Mike. I didn't really care if I heard preaching or not. I could just take it or leave it. Amen. But I tell you, you know why I want to go to Jubilee? It's not about who I can see. It's not about what others are going to see. But I know there's going to be some good preaching. Amen. And I tell you, I want to pull up to the table and I want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That book will feed you if you're saved. Thank God, it's nourishment. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you feel better. It'll help you to grow. Don't you just feel like you're growing when you get under the preaching of the Word of God? You know what preaching will do? It'll give you an appetite for it. Amen. You know why I'm glad we're having revival this week? Because you get to hear some preaching and I get to do some preaching. Amen. I'll tell you what preaching will do. It'll just make you more hungry for more preaching. But if you're not saved, there's no desire for preaching. Amen. You see, some people like preachers because of their personality. Or maybe they like the preacher because of his delivery. Maybe he runs around a lot. Maybe he's funny. And they like his jokes. And I'm not saying anything wrong with some of that stuff. But when, you know, there's not much depth beyond that. I tell you, if a preacher never told me a joke, I could be okay with that, couldn't you? In fact, some of them need to quit. They're not good comedians. But I tell you, if a preacher had no personality, but he was plugged in, had the touch of God, and preached the book, I don't care about his personality. I don't care about his delivery. He may sling. He may spit and he may sweat or he may just stand still and be monotone. But if he's got the touch of God and he's preaching the Bible, I'm telling you, it's not him that's helping us, but it's that book that's feeding us. I want to say if you're saved tonight, there's a genuine love for the Word of God. If you're saved tonight, you will have a love for righteousness. 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him." I read that verse today, Brother Lady, and I thought, you know, there are people that they live, they go against the Word of God, they go against the commandments of God, but they'll tell you they're saved. And they'll take it a step further and say, well, that's not, you interpret the Bible. No, the Bible only has one interpretation. Well, I just don't believe that way. It doesn't matter. Because this book ain't about what I believe. It's about what it says. I just don't see it that way. Maybe you don't. You got to open your eyes. I tell you, if you're saved tonight, you have a desire to live a righteous life. Are we perfect? Are we sinless? Do we live righteous? I don't think of one of us. I wouldn't raise my hand. I know you wouldn't raise your hand. And I don't think I've ever met anybody that's really saved and right with God that would raise their hand and say, well, I just live a righteous life. I mean, we all raise our hand and say we're trying to live for God as much as we can. Amen. But we know how sorry we are. And so there's a part of us that we're never just going to say, well, I'm living as the best I can live. No, we're not going to say that. But I'll tell you what, if you're saved, I'm telling you, you got a desire to want to live for God. You want to live clean. You want to live righteous. Amen. You don't want to break the heart of God. You don't want to sin. That doesn't mean we don't, but when we do, it so grieves us. You know why it grieves us? Because we love righteousness. Amen. When Peter denied the Lord, the difference between Peter and Judas was this. Peter went out and wept bitterly for what he did. Judas never wept for betraying Jesus. In fact, he did what a lot of people do. He walked up and kissed him and appeared that, I love you, Lord. But he betrayed him. There's a lot of people sitting in church that they want to kiss the Son as if they are saved. But even the Son looked at one crowd that was very religious and said, why do you call me Lord? And do not the things that I do.
Why do you say you're saved and you live a rebellious life? Why do you say you're saved, but it's always been you're going to do your thing, not God? Why have you never been broken? If you're saved, you have a love for righteousness. I didn't say that. God did. If you're saved, you'll have a genuine love for the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I want to tell you tonight, that love, I want to say this to all you young people, that's because I always, when I think about that verse, I think about, you know, Caleb, I think about, you've always grown up in church and you've probably always loved the crowd you've hung around. And I don't know how you think about it. I don't know how some of you other young men and you young ladies, that this is all you've known. These have been your friends all these years. And you love these people, don't you? So maybe when you read that verse and you think, well, I've always loved them. How do I know the difference between loving them before I got saved and loving them after I got saved? I'm going to tell you the difference. Before you got saved, you loved them in a social realm. You loved them because you were friends, right? You liked hanging out with each other. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. These were your friends. These are just like friends in the world. These were your social friends. This, you came to church because, hey, it's good fellowship, isn't it? After you get saved, here's what happens. You love each other because you have a love for God. It goes from a social realm to a spiritual realm. I love Brother Laddie, don't y'all? Love Brother Danny. I'll tell you, the first time I met Brother Laddie, I was thinking about that the other day. We met in Dalton, didn't we? And I was sitting over here on the second row, and y'all was, you and Miss Thelma and April and Holly was sitting back there in the back. I can still see this in my mind. It was on a Saturday at Tilton Baptist Church. And Brother Laddie stood up and testified, and I didn't know Brother Laddie from Adam. But when he started testifying and God blessed and he sat down, you know what I said? I told my wife, I said, man, that guy right there, now, I like him. I never met him. They was something, wasn't they? And you could testify that. You ever been around somebody you never seen before? Maybe a preacher, maybe somebody get up and tell, and boy, all of a sudden you say, man, I like that person. You know why you like them? Because you're saved. You don't know anything about them. I mean, they could be the biggest thief in the county. Amen. But you love the brethren. It goes beyond personality. It goes beyond just a social. Oh, it's spiritual. They love God, so you love God, so you love each other. And people that are not saved, they don't have that. They can leave people in a heartbeat. They don't have that kind of love. I want to say tonight, if you're saved, you have answered prayer in your life. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto our prayers. Can you look in your life and see where God, you asked God for something specifically and more than once, and it wasn't a coincidence and he answered it? I'm going to tell you, that don't happen to me every day. And I'm not bragging on this old stuff because it's not me. But I tell you, I can raise my hand tonight and say truthfully, I said this morning, Lord, I'm going to go to the mailbox. Lord, would you let some money be in that mailbox for the church? It's not for me, it's for you. And I tell you what God let be in that mailbox was exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask him or think. And I'm not glorifying this flesh. I'm telling you, if you're saved, you can look in your life and say, right there, he answered a prayer. Right there, there's nobody. There's not a coincidence. Nobody, I couldn't have done that. That couldn't have just happened. That was God. Can you look in your life and say, I asked him for something, and right there he did it, and right there he did. Oh, the devil sometimes will say, you're not even saved. I'll say, devil, won't you look at this prayer book and read some of these highlights right here? You tell me if I'm not saved, who's doing all that listening? Because I couldn't do them things. You tell me who's doing that, devil. I'm telling you, his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open, and I pray.
prayers. I can look back through my life and see times when the devil had a snare and he had a pitfall and I didn't see it coming, but they was a strong and a mighty arm. Somebody stepped between me and hell and took care of me, and it's God, and he takes care of his children, and he lets us know that I am his and he is mine forever. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. I don't got to go back 30-something years ago. You can't. I tell you, there's enough evidence right here today to say I belong to him and he belongs to me. Hallelujah. You look in your life today. Has he answered prayer? If you're saved tonight, you've been led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want to say tonight, if you're saved, you'll have a desire to want to see others get saved. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If you're saved tonight, you are convicted when you sin. David sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against the nation, and he sinned against Uriah the Hittite. And he sinned against Joab, causing Joab to do something that he should have never had to do. But in Psalms 51, when David cried out to God, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. David was convicted of his sin. What's the difference, young people? Let me tell you this tonight. What is the difference of a guilty conscience because of a good raising by your parents and the conviction of the Holy Ghost? Because sometimes when you say, am I convicted? Do I feel convicted because the Lord is dealing with me? Or do I feel convicted because my parents raised me right? I'll tell you the difference. When it's just because of a good raising, your conscience, your conviction, your conscience, it's all about your parents. I don't want my mom and dad to find out. I don't want mom and dad. I don't want to disappoint mom and dad. It's all about your parents because you had a good raising. But when it's the Holy Ghost, God knows about this. Well, I don't want to displease God. What would the Lord think about this? See, there's a God conscience there. You might think about what your parents would think, but you'll go beyond that. What would God do if I did this? When you're saved, you think about God. I want to say tonight, when you're saved, you experience chastisement when you sin. He said, if I chastise you not, you're bastards and not sons. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, ye are bastards and not sons. You see, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, I know I'm preaching long, but I'm burdened tonight. The Holy Spirit will use three steps if you're saved. The first step, if you're going to go out and sin, he's going to do, there's three steps, I promise you tonight. If you're going to go sin, number one, he'll convict you. Number two, he'll condemn you. And number three, he will chasten you. And how far he goes with those steps depends on how far you go. You see, if I was to say, I'm going to go drink a beer tonight, the Holy Spirit knows my thoughts. If I was to say, I'm going to leave church and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go down there to the package store and I'm going to buy me a beer. Nobody in this church knows it, Brother Dave, but the Holy Spirit knows. When I go to my car, he's going to say to me, he's going to start convicting me, you better not do that. Boy, you know that's not right. I'll whip you for that. It's not when you're lost. You can do those things. If I go down there and I buy that beer and I sit in that car and I open that top and I pour that beer up and I start drinking it, the whole time I'm drinking, I'm going to feel condemned if I'm saved. See, you can do everything after you got saved that you did before you got saved, but you won't be able to enjoy it after you get saved like you did before you got saved. He
He's going to condemn me. Because I disobeyed him, I can say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Oh, he'll forgive me, but he's going to whip me. There's going to be chastisement. A lost person doesn't have that tonight. You'll practice repentance in your life if you're saved. 2 Corinthians 7:10, repentance does not end when you get saved. It only begins, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. You'll experience spiritual growth. You'll grow in the grace and knowledge. You'll experience a transformed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You'll experience the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:21, you'll experience an inner warfare between the flesh and the spirit. If you're saved, there'll be a struggle going on. Because you're saved, you want to live for God, and the flesh will fight against that. And then finally, if you're saved tonight, you'll love Christ's appearing. I wonder tonight, is everybody in this building saved? I'll tell you, the burden that has not left me for 3 weeks, that is so great that I hope that it is rolled off before we get to Monday. The burden is that I don't want anybody in this church to go through this revival that is lost. I don't want you to go through it unsaved. Well, Brother Gravely, we got Jubilee. You don't know if we'll make it there. What if the rapture takes place before we get to Monday? What if God knew there'll not be a Jubilee? So we're going to have a revival. And there's going to be one final plea. You say, Brother Gravely, you don't know that. No, and you don't know that there will be. If you're here tonight and you're religious but you're lost, I'm telling you, this is the week to get in. And if I was lost, I wouldn't say, well, I got 2 more nights, 3 more nights. No, this could be it tonight. You better get saved. You better get saved. If God don't change my mind, and if he don't do something else, I've never done what I'm going to do right now. And I will say this, the Lord could do anything different. I don't know what God's going to do 100%. But if the Lord don't change my mind, or if he don't do something in the service that I didn't foresee, which could happen, I'll tell you what, I sat down this afternoon, God gave me this message early this morning. And I sat down this afternoon, and just like that, he dropped 2 sermons in my lap just as fast as I could put them down. And I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to preach on both nights unless something else happens. What will it take for you to break? That's what he put in my heart this afternoon. I just wrote that down. And I'll tell you the second one he gave me right behind that. When God shuts the door on you. Now, I don't know if I'll preach both. I mean, the Lord may come back. But I sat there and I wrote them, and I mean, I was like, you know what? That's it. That's what, if I preach the rest of the week, he's right there. That's what he wants me to preach on. That's not an accident tonight. God's dealing with people. And the hardest people to get to come and repent is religious people tonight. Let's stand, Father. Lord, I know I've been long, but God, I've been so burdened tonight.